You're listening to the Fusion Patrol Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Fusion Patrol. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Ben.
And tonight we're going to be looking at an episode of UFO. Episode, who knows what?
Eight-ish
by some accounts. And it is called A Question of Priorities. Let's kick it off with our usual. So, Ben, what did you think about this episode as a whole?
This is one of those few UFO episodes that I always ended up bumping into every time I'd catch the series quite by accident. It's like there were always like two episodes, and this was one of them. it's something of a departure in terms of Straker.
Not much tea.
No, very little tea in the Midlands.
A lot of Midlands, although, though.
Yeah, a lot of Midlands, but not a lot of tea. A lot of Polly want a cracker, I think. But it enjoyable episode, but rather sad.
It's a brutal episode. This is
it's rough, yeah.
This is a Straker episode, I think we can safely say. This is really far more about Straker and his life than it is the subplot with the alien.
Right.
Which,
well, that's the plot device to drive Straker's character throughout this story.
Yes. Yes. One of two. Yes. One of two. So we've mentioned before that we would learn more about Straker as the series progresses, and I think this one really starts filling in a lot of the gaps. The episode starts off with Straker entertaining a boy who is genetically predisposed to have a hideous wig just like Straker. And the kid turns out to be Straker's son. Johnny. And they have a fun and exciting day at the studio where it just shows that it's good to be the king.
Right.
Because they get to ride on the fire trucks and watch the movies be shot. And
I have to admit, I completely forgot the opening of this episode has this woman coming out of a phone booth, and the camera would cut to John as he's watching the woman, and then you see this man in a nylon stocking covering his face who comes up from behind her and then strangles her with a kerchief. And I'd forgotten this part, and I'm like, what the hell is what's Straker's kid doing watching this? Oh, that's right.
It's a movie.
This
studio.
Is a movie.
Yeah. And then Straker takes the boy home, and it becomes far more apparent that he lives with his mother.
And stepfather.
And that Straker's has been married and has had a child, but is no longer part of that life. And it's a very awkward sequence with the ex-wife. Clearly,
very awkward.
Clearly, not only have they certainly not come to any reconciliation between the two of them, but it gets even more awkward when the stepdad comes out, who obviously just must detest Straker. You know, that the wife is sort of willing to kind of talk with him a little bit, but when the stepdad comes out, then she's like, you better get going.
Well, even after Straker, when Straker's taking Johnny home, he asks John, how did that model boat come along? And John says, finished it. You want me to show it to you? You know, when we get to the house, I'll show it to you. So, you know, John runs upstairs to the house to grab it.
Says, wait for me, Dad.
Wait for me. The mother hears this.
Yeah.
And yet she
forces him to leave.
She forces Straker to leave despite the kid's wishes, which if there's any kind of strange characterization that took place in this episode, this is the one. It felt awkward. It felt out of place.
There's something going on there with a stepdad, but because she was sitting there talking to him. She was uncomfortable. She was awkward.
She was civil, though.
She was civil, but when the stepdad finally came out, then she said, "Well, you better go." And he says, "Well, I'm waiting." And said, "Well, you just he can show you.
I'll
next
explain
time.
To John what happened."
Yeah, and then you go. So Straker runs off. Of course, the boy is upset about this, and he chases after his dad to
without
show him
the mother saying anything.
Without mom saying anything at all. That's right. That part was weird. And runs in front of a car and is hit. And is rushed to the hospital where he's going to die. Unless he can get an incredible new wonder drug
from America.
And Straker puts the resources of Shadow on getting his son this...
It's a special... Antibiotic that... apparently, John is allergic to most antibiotics, and this is one that's brand new, which might do the trick.
Might do the trick. And so Straker orders the special Shadow Air transporter to take off early, New York to Shadow Run, and get the medicine aboard by special courier and send it on its way. Of course, Straker says none of this
to anybody.
To anybody. He totally keeps this buttoned up. So there's two things going on. We should mention the UFO. We see a UFO coming in, two of them actually. Very, very quick. Nearly 1.5 times the speed of light.
Actually a little more. They said
1.4, I thought.
I thought I heard 1.8, but maybe it is 1.4. But it is clearly over the speed of light.
Right. And well, based on their previous...
Yeah, if Sol 1 is the speed of light, then I would guess.
Yeah. And the second ship is firing on it.
Curious.
And then it veers off, and the first ship comes into the Earth's atmosphere, and too fast to crash land properly, but it does jettison an escape capsule, which Shadow knows nothing about. But the UFO itself is destroyed. And so they've been calling Straker to get him to come in. He's at the hospital, and he finally does come in, and there's really nothing that he can do in this particular instance, and this is also the first time we really kind of see evidence that Alec is Straker's friend.
I got exactly the same thought, which is why I found it puzzling. At first, I found it puzzling that Straker was so tight-lipped about what had happened. Because, common sense says that when someone has just experienced true. But the point is that anytime someone experiences a really bad situation like this, almost a personal tragedy, you naturally want to turn to a friend and confide in them. And he doesn't do that. But then – as I thought about this episode, I thought, oh, maybe this really does follow Straker's personality.
It does. But you can see that, whereas in the past we've always known that Straker is the logical, analytical guy, and that Alec is the emotional and friendly guy, up to this point I've really kind of seen them as being sort of a yin and a yang, chosen to be that way. Straker got Alec because Alec was that kind of guy. But in this one, you kind of see that Alec intuitively can tell something's wrong with Straker. And he's trying to help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first time we see that he has feelings of friendship. Not just Alec being a nice guy. He actually feels friendship for Straker. But that doesn't do any good because Straker is utterly clam-mouthed about this thing. So Alec just kind of knows something's wrong, but doesn't know what it is. And therein lies the tragedy of this episode. The alien that escaped is on the coast of Ireland.
The West Coast.
And he's finds his way to a nearby cottage, which is conveniently populated by...
A blind woman.
A blind woman.
And her parrot.
And the blind woman cannot see that our alien is green-skinned and wearing a spacesuit. The alien, of course, as with all of them, does not appear to be able to speak. So, she knows there's someone in the house, and he won't talk to her. So, I thought she was much less realistic than she should have been, because I would have been
panicking.
Yeah, that would have been. She was quite calm. I mean, she wasn't happy about it, but she was surprisingly calm. Anyway, the alien builds a little transmitter device and starts transmitting on Shadow's frequencies. What's he transmitting? Well, since he can't
talk. The monologue.
The monologue from the blind woman.
Coming from the blind woman.
And with that, they start to try to look. You know, Shadow is clued on that what's happened here is they think it's an alien defector. Somebody who wants to come over to their side is trying to get their attention, and they determine by looking at the wreckage of the UFO that...
And the fact that there were two UFOs, one veered off, and it seemed entirely suspicious, and
so
they think that maybe they might have a defector on their hands.
Yes. So they start to work on trying to locate where that broadcast is coming from. Let's just switch back to the hospital for a second there, where Mom is, of course, waiting, crying, distraught. The stepfather's there. He's being supportive to her, and Straker is constantly calling in trying to find out, you know, is there any news, is it any better, is anything, and
we should point out that earlier when it was talked about this special medicine, he did come right out and state right in front of Mary, the ex-wife, and the stepfather, who goes simply by the credit of Rutland.
Yeah.
Straker says, I'll take care of it. Well, of course, well, how the heck are you going to take care of it? And he says, don't worry about it. I will take care of it. Know, obviously, he can't tell them of his shadow resources to have this antibiotic flown over.
Which I think, you know, probably tells us something about why their marriage broke down, too.
Well, I know that there's another episode coming up later where we do get more on that.
Right, but... It's clear that she's not in on the picture with Shadow.
Oh, absolutely not. And that's spelled out further in this story.
Yes.
Straker does say, I will take care of this, and gives after he leaves, and actually the transport finally takes off, there is a little phone conversation between Straker and Mary at the hospital.
Don't let Johnny down this time.
Yeah, she said the medicine is on its way. And you see on her face this glimmer of hope at the thought that maybe her son will live. And she finally says that, don't let Johnny down this time. Or don't let Johnny down again.
Don't let Johnny down this time. And then don't let us down again. Yeah. She's very adamant that
obviously, he's let them down several times already
in the past. So this is probably the crux of their problem. That's actually what I was going for. I was going to mention about the hospital scene is that he has this phone conversation where she's like, the other thing that really gets you about this episode was Straker's attitude and. As he's been in the show in the past, he calls in to the hospital at one point and asks about John Straker. And
no John Straker?
And they go, yeah, there's Rutland. A John Rutland.
He might be under that name, yeah.
And you can see that just tore his heart out.
He didn't like that one bit.
No, he was just really kicked in the chest on that one. So, you know, this is really, really eating Straker alive. Unfortunately, Alec, who's kind of running things, realizes that, you know, Straker tells him to track it down, the UFO. And to do that, they need ground-based stations. And they just can't get anything there in time. And then they realize that the shuttle, the transport's on its way from New York.
Having left 14 hours earlier than it was scheduled to do.
7 or 14 hours, yeah, something like that early. And Alex says something about how could Straker have known?
Psychic.
He must be psychic to know that they were going to need that transport. So he diverts it to Ireland to let off the transport, the mobiles that are aboard it. And when he tells that to Straker...
Oh, this is a chilling moment.
It is. Straker's like...
He kind of stands up and you can almost see the color drain from his face and he says, "What did you do?"
And Alex says, "Well, I diverted the transport." And I says, "Is there a problem?" And Straker just looks at him and goes, "No.
No.
It's, as always, just a question of priorities. And then he contacts, you know, he doesn't reprimand Alec or anything like that, but he contacts the shuttle and he says, the transport, he says, "Get that thing in the air just the minute you've unloaded those mobiles." And, you know, that's all he does. He doesn't countermand the order. He doesn't send it on to save his boy. He continues on with his task. And of course, Alec doesn't know what he's done. The mobiles and everything, eventually when that happens, the mobiles converge on the house. They're tracking down the alien. And unfortunately, the other UFO shows up.
And kills our UFO pilot.
And then gets blown up itself by Sky One. And little Johnny Rutland dies. Which is a bit of a downer.
It's a terrible downer. It's bad enough that they took this gamble to try and locate this UFO pilot. Had they succeeded in getting him, obviously it's not going to take the sting out of losing your own son, but you might feel some small justification in your decisions. Having the UFO pilot killed,
it's a total loss.
It's a loss all over the place, and it's like you can just see the floor drop out from beneath Straker, especially when he goes to the hospital and he walks into the waiting room. There's nobody there, and then all of a sudden, from behind a door, comes Mary and the stepfather, and
she's practically puking from crying so hard.
And I have to tip my hat to the actress who played her, because I've seen grief-stricken women, you know, who've lost a child, and it was a spellbinding performance on her part, especially as she just spits out the words to Straker, "I never want to see you again."
And I think, you know, I think that's probably what's going to happen too, because I think without the child,
there's no reason.
There's absolutely no reason for those two to ever see each other again.
And I'm sure Straker would have loved to have reconciled with her.
He obviously still cares for her.
Yeah, it's clear that he has feelings for her, even though the only feelings that she has for him are that of disappointment and possibly even contempt.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a mean episode. This is a mean episode. This show, UFO as a whole, really beats up on Straker from time to time.
Oh, I mean,
he's really the guy that takes the brunt of it, because, and I think we can, you know, we can talk about this now that they've introduced this into the story. You know, this series, there's a constant theme and re-theme through it about the sacrifices that Straker has made.
Well, it's not just Straker, but it's other people. I mean, Paul makes that same kind of sacrifice at some point.
A couple of times, yeah. Lost a girlfriend here or something like that. But Straker really
With him, it's just it's tragic.
It's everything. Yeah. I mean, absolutely everything changed for him that day.
Well, he has a great line, which really sums it up a little bit earlier when Alec says, you know, there's nothing more that you can do here. Why don't you just go on home? And Stryker comes back with, what home?
What home, yeah.
I mean, he tells the viewer, I mean, obviously Alec isn't getting it because he doesn't know what's really going on.
I'm sure Alec gets that line. I mean, the what home line would have resonated with anyone. Stryker has no home to go to.
Well,
Shadow is
Yeah, that's true, but it has a much deeper meaning
if
you think about Stryker's personal life. And, of course, now you have to ask the question, how much – because I agree. I think Alec really is the closest thing to a friend that Stryker has. But how much does Alec really know about Stryker and his personal life? I would be willing to bet not very much.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. Are you saying that based on this episode or based on the –
Just on this episode alone.
Oh, okay. Just on this episode alone, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, it is a little hard to tell. I don't know.
At this point. I mean, spoiler-wise, I mean, he was best man at his wedding.
Oh, I did. Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That will come out later in the series.
Okay. Then the line, what home, will resonate with Alec.
Oh, yeah. He knows. He doesn't know about the kid, but, I mean, he knows who the kid is, and he knows all that stuff, and the wife and the situation. Absolutely, he does.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that part.
Absolutely, he does. Yes,
but still, to Alec and to the viewer, when Stryker just says that, what home? That tells us that Stryker has sacrificed everything
for this,
for the sake of this posting.
Yeah, and I think yeah. We'll see. It's everything. I mean, we'll, you know, his strained relation with, can't think of the general's name now.
Oh yeah, him.
That's part of it. You know, that was a friend of his once too.
Well, clearly in the very first episode. So, I mean, there was at least. There was some cordial common respect for each other. There was no sense of animosity whatsoever.
Right.
And the last time we saw him, like, oh, these two couldn't even stand to be in the same room with each other.
And did you notice what it was all about? I mean, General Clayton?
Oh, give me enough time, I'll look it up.
Okay, you look it up, the general. And, I mean, it was all about everything Stryker wants to get his way, and Stryker wants this, and Stryker's demands are too much. It's again. You can extrapolate that to say that everything Stryker does is shadow, and even that plays against the general.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the point of contention there. It's just how dedicated to Shadow he is. So anyway,
which does sort of bring up a little a thought that I'd had as I was watching it. We've acknowledged that Stryker has sacrificed virtually everything in his life for the sake of this job. Would he have done so had he known what the cost was going to be down the road? I kind of wonder. And I have to think, you know, I think he would have anyway, because I think that's just the kind of character Stryker is.
Hmm. That's a good question, and I don't know. And I don't think we get that. I mean,
Henderson.
General Henderson, yes, that's it. General Henderson. The one thing that's kind of that we keep bringing back or is kind of hidden, actually. It's not really brought back, but so that was just a stupid comment on my part. It's not really brought back. It's just an observation that runs underneath the entire show, but it is not always obvious that Stryker and Shadow in general consider the aliens to be an incredibly real and dangerous
a major threat.
And why? I mean, okay, fine. They're stealing our organs.
Well, but even
not
Stryker,
that many.
No, they're not stealing that many. And even Stryker, at the end of the first episode, when he does, you hear the little voiceover in his head. Are they doing it just to survive? Would we, kind of? I think he even poses the question: would we do any different if we were in their position, or something along those lines?
Right.
So you clearly see that he's trying to maybe not play devil's advocate, but trying to achieve some sense of empathy in an attempt to better understand.
Better understand, a better battle, I think.
Yeah.
But, in terms of problems, for example, malaria kills far more people a year than the aliens do. And they've spent an awful lot of money battling the aliens, who, send in a few ships every once in a while and steal
at least
a body
that
here and there. Yeah, that we see. And
I mean, the argument could be made.
Understanding is they've got to keep it secret because it'll freak people out.
Yeah, but the argument could be made that in stories that we're not seeing, that maybe Shadow is being far more effective at stopping the UFO threat than we're privy to. That maybe what we're seeing are just, I don't want to call them the failures, but the ones of that go beyond just the routine, we've destroyed an alien, a UFO ship.
But we're really kind of presented with the notion that this is the most important battle mankind has ever fought, and Stryker in particular, and Shadow in general, stand alone, unappreciated, secretively fighting this war. It's about as noble as you can get, in terms of a war hero. Someone who's unsung and unknown.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some of the toll on that in Stryker's marriage. Or lack thereof. Anyhow, I guess that's pretty much it. I mean, I enjoyed the episode, but it is... it is sad. It is, frankly, a surprise. I didn't think they would kill off the boy the first time I watched this.
I kind of applaud them that they did. Not that I relish in seeing characters of children get killed, but that the showrunners had... That they had the stones to actually write a story like this. I mean, this is just brutal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very dark. And I applaud them for taking such a brave step in writing what, in terms of television production, could have been a rather dangerous story. I mean, you could have alienated a lot of people had this gone wrong.
Yeah, and the boy didn't die for anything good.
It was a meaningless death, and those are among the worst.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'll finish up with is, and this really was disturbing. It's the very very final scene. As I said earlier, Stryker goes into what I guess would be the waiting room, and it's empty.
Yeah.
Totally empty at this hour. You see Mary come out. She tells everyone to see you again. And as she's sobbing, it just echoes in this very hollow-sounding room. And I kind of thought, maybe they're trying to mirror Straker's soul at feeling so empty at what has just transpired. It felt like there was a lot of symbolism just in that scene. As the camera pulls back, you're doing this really far overhead shot as you just hear Mary's sobs just rebound throughout the entire hospital. Mm-hmm. And Straker's just standing there all alone. It's a very powerful scene. And it just goes dark, and then you go into closing credits.
And of course, the closing credits on UFO are not exactly...
Oh, they're not cheery.
They're not cheery anyway, yeah, because they really don't have any music or anything behind them. They're just sort of
noise. With an occasional malevolent chord or something.
Yeah. That just fades off. There's nothing redeeming at the end of this episode for us or for Shadow or...
It's
a total loss.
It is a total loss, and the way they filmed it, you really get a very strong sense. I mean, I think the viewer is kind of left with this really sick feeling in the pit of his stomach as we see what has just transpired, and it kind of helps us better understand Straker through a turn of events that obviously no one wants to experience, but it was just so well played out in terms of just pure writing and production. I couldn't rate this episode higher.
Fair enough. They could have used Moonbase a little bit more and perhaps some running around in spacesuits, but... Oh, wait. Yeah. Sorry, I was channeling an American television exec in the 60s.
You were thinking Space 1999.
I was thinking that. All right. Well, then I think that's probably all we have to say on this episode. And we'll be back soon with some surprise episode next time. It might be the episode we were supposed to do last week, which has had some technical problems that we're trying to iron out, or it might be something completely different. I kind of like it when it's a mystery. Sort of.
I don't, because I have no idea what you have planned. You scare me every time you do that.
I don't have anything particularly malevolent planned. How about that?
Oh, thank God.
I don't have anything. I think we're probably talking the Star Lost.
I think you're right.
I think we're right. I think we're due for an episode of the Star Lost. It seems like so long. And it hasn't been, but it seems like it's been a long time.
Well, I think Star Lost was the first thing we reviewed after Doctor Who went off, wasn't it?
Could be.
I think so. I can't remember now. I have to look at all my notes and see the date history of them.
Anyway, so we hope you'll join us again next time on Fusion Patrol.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the Fusion Patrol podcast, a production of Lone Locust Productions. Join us on our new discussion forums at fusionpatrol.com. Find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, username Fusion Patrol. You can also send us feedback by email at feedback@fusionpatrol.com. If you'd like to support Fusion Patrol, please leave us a review on iTunes. Fusion Patrol's theme music is Fight the Future by Amberwolf.